Hello everyone, welcome back to The Real Film Show. I'm your host Rob.
And I'm Harriet. You did it normally
though. I don't know, it's just, you never call yourself Harriet, so it's kind of, throws me a bit, because
I don't refer to myself when you're there.
It's weird because you also don't introduce me to people, so maybe that's why you just never introduce yourself.
We've met numerous people,
and I've just stood there and you've just spoken to this person, and then I've either had to do it myself or it's just never happened, and it's just quite awkward.
No, that's really awkward.
It is awkward.
I don't think you necessarily introduce me to people either.
Yeah, I do.
I don't think so.
Well, I mean, not people you already know. That'd be weird. But yeah, we are here. We've got two things to talk about this week.
Yes.
We've got A Quiet Place Part 2.
Yes.
Obviously a sequel to A Quiet Place.
Part 1?
It's not called Part 1, but yeah, why not? And then we've also got Bo Burnham's stand-up comedy special. Comedy? Yes. Not that funny. special on Netflix, which is called Inside, which he... supposedly shot, directed, edited, produced. I think there are actually other people in the credits, apparently, who maybe did a bit of editing.
He did do a lot of it himself.
I mean, he did an impressive amount himself.
All of the raw footage.
I sort of feel like I should have done more in lockdown.
Yeah, I am feeling like very much did nothing.
Maybe just spent less time playing Overwatch, more time.
Oh, don't even look at those numbers.
It's too many.
Too many hours.
It's too many for only a year of Overwatch. anyway, let's talk about Quiet Place Part 2. John Krasinski directs it again.
Yeah.
Second film. Directs his wife again. He's also in it for a little bit.
Yeah.
We know that because it's in the trailer.
It's in the trailer, so...
obviously, Emily Blunt is his wife in real life, but also in the film. I don't know what anyone's name is. I've kind of realised that. Like, when they referred to him as Lee, I was like, did we know what his name is?
I don't think we did. No, I think they were the man, the woman.
Yeah, I have a feeling that in the credits they were credited as...
I don't even know if we know the name of the children.
We could check this.
No, we probably do know the name of the children.
But it pretty much takes off essentially where the first film ends.
Yeah. And spoilers. To the gun.
Yeah, to the Michael. But the only thing that Michael Bay seems to contribute to this is the coughing of the shot.
You weren't a massive fan of that, and
I just thought it was a bit unnecessary. To be honest, I thought it was just we didn't need it in there. And well, I mean, it's fine because I absolutely love the first film. So we are going to talk probably spoilers for the first film. We'll speak largely spoiler free, I think, for this one.
Okay.
So it has got their names on.
They do have names. Yeah.
Evelyn Lee. I don't know if that's actually in the... It doesn't really matter, does it?
No.
It doesn't really matter.
I tend not to listen to names of people. Maybe this is why I don't introduce
them. Maybe it's because you just don't know people's names. You're bad at remembering names as well.
I don't feel like they're that important, really.
So yeah, it pretty much takes off after the first film. So the first film basically kind of starts mid...
Mid-apocalypse.
Mid kind of apocalypse, right? And we kind of learn these monsters who hunt you down based on noises that you make. And... rip you apart, and we find out by the end of the first one that sort of feedback.
Yeah. Audio feedback.
Yeah, radio sort feedback. Of they're weak to. Because and we also know there's a weakness because John Krasinski has a big board that says, what is the weakness underlined catalyzed? Which is I find really odd.
How many are there with two question marks and then three circled?
Yeah, it's just these weird.
Why are you asking questions and answering
them? Minor spoiler, the whiteboard does appear again, which I find very satisfying. And I think it's almost like an in joke to be like, yeah, we know it's stupid, but we put it back in, which I really liked. So it takes off straight after that, where they found the weakness. John Krasinski obviously was killed at the end of the first one.
Very sad.
Which was very sad. I absolutely love the first film. I think it's brilliant.
It's so good.
I think it's genuine. And I don't really like horror. I don't know if it's a horror or more of a thriller. I think it's more of a thriller, to be honest. But we get, like, what I found really interesting about this was that it felt like almost like DLC to a game.
Oh, really?
And it reminds me a bit of, like, The Last of Us Part 1 DLC.
Yeah.
That tells, like, a story that you didn't really... Particularly, like, you get a bit of flashback as well. It tells like a bit of a story that you didn't really know that you needed.
Yeah.
But it kind of feels like, oh yeah, we did kind of need that in the end.
Yeah.
And it felt like a necessary thing to add on.
That's good.
And it didn't feel, because I was a bit like, do we need the same story? Is it going to be the same story again, but with...
Yeah.
Just different...
Different location. Yeah. Characters or whatever.
And it, yeah, it felt like all those good kind of, there is a prequel-y element to it.
Yeah.
But I thought it was, yeah, I like that we have this story.
Yeah.
Rather than kind of why have they made this for more money sort of thing.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like a money grab or a shit sequel. It's very good. I think it's as good as the
first one. I think it's as good as the first one. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Start off, I thought it was, I think again, it's like, it's a quick runtime.
Yeah.
And
I don't think I would be able to, and my body wouldn't.
I think it's short because it keeps you tense for this whole time. Like any longer, I feel like they'd have to have.
There's not that much relief from.
No, there isn't. There's a few moments, but even then, you're kind of like, well, something's going to happen. Whenever it goes quiet.
Action is set over like a couple of days.
Probably
like,
a couple
like
of days,
the first
yeah.
One.
Yeah, I mean, it's similar.
You see a little bit of like finding out she's pregnant and then like the birth, but it's still. Only,
that's true. Yeah.
It's still only a very short.
That's true.
Window of time.
What I really liked about this was that, and what I really like about the first one as well is that it's more about kind of the family and their relationship.
Yeah.
Rather than kind of doing something to fix a problem or something. You know, it kind of reminds me of like The Road as well, where it's kind of, there's an apocalypse, but it's not about how do we save humanity. It's about how do we survive and how do we look after each other. Yeah. And I really like, I think this adds a lot more to the family dynamic, which I really liked. Particularly the first sort of 5 or 10 minutes of the film, I think is really nice. And yeah. And what I also really like is, I think we spoke about it with Sound of Metal as well, is obviously the daughter in this is deaf, which is a big part of the first film. And it's a big part of like the family and the way they communicate. And obviously they have to be silent. Yeah, and they probably wouldn't have survived if she wasn't deaf.
Because they wouldn't have been able to communicate as well as they can.
Which I find really interesting. And that kind of gets more play here as well.
Yeah.
Which I think is quite cool.
It's just nice to see sign language on screen as well. It's such a lovely, beautiful language.
Yeah.
We should all learn it.
What I also like, I think these films are really clever, that John Krasinski sets things up really well.
Yeah.
Like, particularly in terms of horror and suspense. Like, there's a bit in the first one where Emily Blunt's character steps on the nail, and he shows you the nail first, and you think she's going to stand on it, and then she misses it. And then she does it the second time.
Yeah,
and it does that a few times in this as well, where similar things are kind of, he'll show you things or he'll set something up and then it'll come back around later. And I think it's a really clever film. It's really like confident filmmaking for someone who's only made 2 films.
Yeah.
And these are his 2 films. I think it's just really, yeah, I think it's so well structured because there's a lot of stuff that I was watching thinking that looks like it's going to be important. Or there's stuff that's even calls back to the first one, which I think is not... isn't unnecessary, it's just nice little things that just,
yeah.
It's kind of thing that the Marvel Cinematic Universe does where it just puts things in there just for you because you've, and it's not over gratuitous, it's just world building, which I think is really nice.
It would just be like a panning of some place or location or something. It's not like it's filler for the sake of filler, it's just every bit of filler is also, you know, for the audience.
Yeah. What I also liked about this one is that it kind of explores what humanity is like a bit more without going into too much detail about what that is. There is a line in the trailer where Cillian Murphy, who's, again, I think a really good addition to this, because he's... I was a bit worried that he would just be John Krasinski and he's a completely different character, which I really like. It kind of explores what's happened to people because you don't see anyone else in the first film. You see them with their lights, they do sort of the beacons.
Oh, you do see somebody kill themselves.
Yeah, you do, yeah, sorry, yeah. Oh, yeah, you do see a bit.
Is it an old lady or something?
But I think I think I'd recommend watching the first one just before you go and watch this.
Yeah.
Because I'd kind of forgotten some of it.
Yeah, me too, actually.
But you,
it does pick up literally at the moment of her cocking.
And obviously they've got the baby, which
yeah,
is just so stressful.
It's so stressful. I can't imagine having a baby in an apocalypse.
Yeah, they do a really good job of keeping the stakes real as well. Like, I think the first film set up the stakes really high where it obviously kills off their son quite early, which obviously then makes you think anything can happen, and then obviously kills off John Krasinski.
Yeah.
So the stakes always feel like...
real.
I know that anything could actually happen there to any character. What I realised as well is that the kids get more to do in this.
Yeah, it's so really nice.
The ending of this film kind of puts the kids in a position where they kind of finish the first film.
Yeah.
Which I'm interested to see if they do a third film, which I guess they might do. But I really like the girl, Millicent Simmons.
Yeah.
She gets a lot. She's almost the lead of this, I think.
Yeah, because she was sort of the second character, I guess, in the first one. Because the main storyline in the first one is her and her father and their relationship. So she's kind of taken on the mantle.
This one. Spoilers for The Last of Us and The Last of Us Part 2. But it does remind me quite a bit of Ellie and Joel.
Oh, yeah.
That's true. It's sort of a similar arc to that.
I hadn't thought of that.
What have I written down here?
Can you not read your own handwriting?
Nope.
Oh, dear.
Keeps tension. Moves quickly.
I had to go to the toilet in the cinema. And I don't feel like I missed anything because it was like one of those slow, tense, buildy bits. But when I went to the toilet, I was so aware of how loud, like, everything was.
Yeah, I was going to say sound design as well. Have I said sound design? Sound of metal? So, obviously, there's a deaf character in this. I think they use her... They use it kind of selectively, I suppose. Yeah. Whereas in Sound of Metal, it's kind of throughout the whole... Because it's about deafness, I suppose. But I like how they use... And I think they do it in the first one as well.
Yeah, I think whenever she's on her own, you can
see it. Yeah, because obviously not knowing you're making noise is quite a big threat.
Yeah.
But they do it here as well with a couple of the headphones. They do it a few times, which I just think it's really nice. I think it's a really good fit. I really like it a lot.
The cinema like really quiet as well. Like everybody in the cinema, apart from like wrestling, food.
Yeah.
It was a better behaved audience.
It was a better behaved audience
than we've had previous.
No
inappropriate laughing this time.
I love this film. I really like the first one.
Yeah.
I hope there's a third one. I do think Cillian Murphy was a really good addition.
Yeah, I'd be interested if they do another, because this one didn't feel like a copy of the first.
So no. I
don't know where they go from this.
Yeah, because they're only so short, but it's really impressive because this one's really short time period, but it feels like the daughter goes on such a big journey.
Yeah.
Like emotionally.
Yeah.
Throughout this.
And
it's only been a few hours. It's quite impressive, really. Yeah. Like, it feels like that's a genuine arc that she's been on. And the son as well, I think.
Yeah, he gets a lot more to do in this.
Yeah, he does. Emily Blunt's kind of... I suppose she's kind of... She's sidelined a little bit in the first one as well because of the kids.
But she does have to have the baby. That's quite a good moment.
That's what I mean. I was kind of like, I don't know how you would...
But it does kind of make sense because if you've had a baby, you do need to kind of...
Look after the baby. After the baby. That's the thing that happens, yeah.
Yeah.
You do have to look after the baby, unfortunately.
The older siblings do kind of have to look after themselves a little bit more, and each other.
Yeah, I thought it was really good how they shifted the emphasis a bit towards them. And I was a bit worried that Cillian Murphy would kind of overshadow it.
Yeah, but he doesn't.
And he doesn't at all, and he's obviously brilliant because it's Cillian Murphy, and he's good in everything.
He is very good.
Any more thoughts?
Just very, very good. Yeah. Really tense.
Not terrifying. It's not scary though, is it?
No.
That's why I sort of move away from horror sometimes and call it more of a thriller. But
yeah, I did jump a lot, but I'm quite jumpy.
You are quite jumpy. I'm
very jumpy. And sometimes I jumped just because you squeezed my knee when it was a tense moment to make me jump.
Good banter though. Yeah. Okay, let's move on then. Let's talk about Bo Burnham's Inside on Netflix. So this is like his second Netflix special. The first one was Make Happy, right?
Yeah.
Which came out
There's one, What?
Was What? Is that not just on Netflix? I don't think it's... Because I think What you can actually listen to. Whereas there's two Netflix ones they haven't released as, like, albums.
Oh, that's funny.
Which I don't know. It's kind of annoying because I wish they... Because they're, like, probably the two best ones.
Yeah.
And, like, I was listening to the IGN podcast about Bo Burnham and like, some of his earlier stuff. And I think he kind of touches it on Inside. Yeah. And I'll sort of talk about What Inside is in a minute. But he kind of touches on, like, how his earlier stuff was just kind of offensive just to kind of for the sake of it. Like, just because he could say it. And I think he's spoken about it before, where he just says stuff just to be offensive.
A lot of young white comedians
are going to do that. I mean, obviously, he's a kind of right-on guy as well. It's kind of interesting for him to, like... He's very sort of self-aware and self-critical, which I think is nice.
It's a nice balance, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you're self-aware but not self-critical, you end up kind of like Ricky Gervais territory, where you kind of divide audiences.
Yeah, that's true. So Inside is kind of the project that but also him making the project on his own, and it kind of shows you like setting things up, and he's done it all in one room in his, presumably his house, where he's lived for a year, and he's kind of got long hair and a beard, and he looks a lot like Wyatt Russell, and then he's a bit where he wears glasses, he looks a lot like John Lennon. And he kind of, it's just him filming these kind of, it feels almost like kind of a TikTok feed or like a an Instagram feed, and that's probably intentional, but it, like, it's not like a comedy show where there's kind of a through line running through it.
No.
You know, like a comedy show, they'll set something up in the first bit and then the end it'll, and it'll be a common theme. There's not really necessarily that as much.
Aside just, from him being, I guess, the thread that, like, his mental
state. Mental state, yeah. So it starts off kind of quite Bo Burnham-y, quite light.
Yeah.
Not light, but I suppose lightish.
White woman's Instagram.
White woman's Instagram. Kind of making light of things.
Yeah.
And then it sort of takes a turn, like, I suppose like a third of the way through, where it just gets quite...
It gets quite real.
Quite dark, quite real, all about his mental state and... Because Make Happy kind of finishes like that.
Yeah.
And again, I think he's really clever in the way that he talks about this stuff without really talking about it.
Yeah.
So it's all like the burrito thing where he's like, wouldn't have got the lettuce if I knew it wouldn't fit. And all this kind of like... And at the end he says, I hope you're all happy, and just walks off. It's just like, it's really funny, but also, and it's a really good song. But it's also kind of, obviously it has more meaning to it than...
Yeah, he does a lot where he kind of looks at the purpose of comedy.
Yeah.
And like his purpose and whether what he's doing is worth it or worthy and all this kind of thing.
Or just self-indulgent. Yeah. And then he realises it's self-indulgent, just does it anyway.
Yeah. But it's very good.
I need to watch it again, really, because... I just thought it was brilliant. And yeah, just the way it's... I'm still not sure if that's like his actual mental state or if like, I'm kind of like, is he okay? Is someone checking on him? Because
I think it's probably a bit of both. I mean, a lot of comedians that we like really are quite down on themselves.
Sad. And
they use that as...
Sad people are funny. The funniest people, right?
Yeah.
Because people who are too confident, I don't think, like...
They're just not relatable.
They're not, but like Michael McIntyre, it's like, you're too happy. Just, it's not funny.
Yeah. You need the darkness.
Sad clown.
Or tears of a clown.
Tears of a clown, yeah.
Yeah, that is what they say.
It's just funny. I think yeah, that self-critical thing, I think, is very relatable.
Yeah, for sure.
There's really good songs on it as well. Yeah. It's as good as anything he's done.
It's so well... like the White Woman's Instagram, there have been so many TikToks of white women responding to this, like putting his pictures next door to their pictures that are the same, saying, I didn't realise how much of a basic bitch I was, and then saying, look, I literally, he has captured me.
Yeah.
It's so, like, well...
He just feel like he's... Because he's not, like, publicly... He doesn't do a lot on Twitter or anything like that.
No.
But he feels like he has a really good grasp of, like, everything that's going on.
Yeah.
Like, when he did, like, 8th Grade... which I think is on Netflix now. So people who haven't watched 8th grade, I'd really recommend watching it. So he directed and wrote that thing. But it's weird that he knows exactly what a 13-year-old girl would be feeling.
Yeah, it's just...
Like, he just got that. And he, you know, someone who's half his age, how does he know what that's...
He must have been...
He feels like a really insightful... Yeah.
Child.
Well, I think he is, yeah.
Yeah.
But he's just a really insightful person. Like, he's really good at picking up on things,
yeah.
I think.
And just making them relatable. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was brilliant, and everyone should probably watch it.
There's one as well where he turns 30, and I turned 30 this year, or last year, in lockdown as well.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I relate so hard to this.
Yeah, because the bit was that I wanted to finish it before I'm 30. And it's almost like, but why?
But
like,
why, yeah.
Yeah,
it's a meaningless thing.
It's not an important milestone.
Yeah.
I don't really know. It needs to be experienced. You need to watch it because it's just...
It's very good.
It's very, very good. Yeah.
You just kind of have to trust that he is okay.
Yeah, I did find it quite concerning. I was like, is someone, please, someone... I've already got loads of phone calls after this, being like, are you fine?
It's like when James Acaster did his recent Call Lasagna, Hate Myself, 1999. At the end, he's like, you know that I wouldn't have broadcast this if I wasn't comfortable doing so. I'm not mad, you know, I know
yeah. I'm doing... That's true.
You know, it's all an act. It's all a written. It's all, you know. I mean, there obviously is.
Yeah, I always wonder how much of this is actually... I mean, there's a lot of really funny stuff.
Yeah.
Just like things that he doesn't even like dwell on.
Yeah.
It'll just be something he does and it'll move on and it...
Yeah.
It's just so fast. But yeah, it's brilliant. It's on Netflix. Watch it, please.
It's a treat.
Anything else you've been doing?
Wolf Alice released a new album.
Wolf Alice did release a new album. My favourite band, probably.
Probably ever.
up there.
Yeah.
Up there.
They are very good.
The first two albums, I don't really listen to albums that much.
Yeah.
But I will listen to both those albums. Oh, yeah. Just from start to finish. And this one feels like it's the same.
Yeah.
And it feels like they're getting a load of recognition now.
Yeah.
I know they won the Mercury Prize for their second album, but it feels like they're kind of more mainstreamy now.
They are very they're a well-known name now.
And they've kind of done what Arctic Monkeys have done as well, where they've kind of done something completely different each album, but also kept their sound the same, which is really impressive.
There's a very distinctive kind of sound that's them.
If you compare Tranquility Base to whatever the first album's called, I can't remember. You can tell it's still Alex Turner, but it's obviously completely different.
It's like a different genre.
Yeah. And I think they don't do it to that extent, but I think it's kind of...
Yeah.
Each album has its own feel, yeah. But it's
very good.
It is really good, and I'd recommend getting it.
For sure, yeah. We're going
What's
to see
it called? Blue Weekend.
Blue Weekend, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah. Anything else?
No, I don't think so. You need to start watching some TV or something.
So I'm going to start watching Mayor of... whatever it's called.
Eastwick or something? No.
What's it called?
Some kind of thing.
It's got Kate Winslet in it.
Oh, I want to watch that Mae Martin series, because series 2 is coming out. And I haven't watched series 1, but it looks really good, so I want to watch both. But I can't remember what it's called or where it's on.
Or what it's about.
It's about Mae Martin and their relationships with people and addiction, I believe.
Kate Winslet has Mayor of Easttown.
Okay.
She has her own page on for a list of Kate Winslet performances. Not even on her main Wikipedia. She's got a separate Wikipedia.
Just for a list of performances. Yeah.
How old is Kate Winslet?
I don't know.
45.
Yeah. Okay. She must have started really young.
Yeah.
Gosh, she's done a lot.
She has done a lot.
She's very good.
She is very good. And I want to watch Mayor of Easttown.
What is it?
It's like a detective thing, whodunit.
Is it like...
But it's like limited series. It's like 7 episodes.
Is it set like now?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So I'm going to watch that, I think.
Okay.
And if people have watched that, let us know. It's supposed to be really good.
Cool.
But that'll do it then for this episode. We'll be back next week with that. And we are going to see Nobody with Bob Odenkirk.
John Wick, but...
But with a good actor.
With a good actor. Why do you hate Keanu Reeves?
I don't
so
hate
much?
Keanu Reeves. I just... People think he's great because he's a nice guy. And
he's
like,
a nice guy.
I mean, he is a nice guy, but there's a lot of nice guys who are also good at acting.
Jake Gyllenhaal. Ryan Gosling.
Mark Ruffalo, until he kind of did something about Israel. He condemned them and then took it back. And then everyone's like,
why? That was probably more kind of pressures from above.
I don't care. You shouldn't.
He is very good on...
He's good on climate change.
He's very good on
voting.
He's good on voting and he's good on indigenous people.
Yeah, imagine... Sorry. Yeah, go back to Ryan Gosling. Imagine being obsessed with Keanu Reeves when you could be obsessed with Ryan Gosling.
Oh my goodness.
Or Jake Gyllenhaal. Just be obsessed with someone who's better.
Yeah.
In every single aspect. I know he's in Bill and Ted, but Bill and Ted, I hate to break it to you, it's shit.
I love Bill and Ted. So I'm just going to ignore whatever you just said just then because I didn't hear it. But he's good in...
The Matrix is good.
He's good in The Matrix.
Yeah, because he doesn't have to act.
Well, it's Plato's Cave. It's a great film, but...
He doesn't act. He's not very good at acting.
He's just an everyman.
He kind of ruins that rom-com.
No, I was going to say he's good in that.
I think he's the worst part of that rom-com by a mile.
Oh. It makes me sad.
Always Be My Maybe. Spoilers if you've not seen that, but it came out ages ago.
Watch that as well, that's really good.
That's a really good rom-com. Randall Park.
It was on
and
Netflix.
Ali Wong.
I think it still is, I'm not sure.
It will be, as a Netflix film. Great rom-com until he turns up. He's fine. He's just... It's like the Mandela effect for me, Keanu Reeves. It's like when he turned up in Cyberpunk and everyone lost their mind. But why?
Maybe it's just like you don't like the hype. If nobody was like...
I have nothing against it. The hype. It's 100% the hype that I hate and I don't understand where it's come from.
Yeah.
Apart from the fact that he's nice.
I'm just trying to think of
people are like, yeah, but he's a great guy. So what?
Who else is...
You don't give people jobs for being nice guys, man.
Hmm.
He's fine. He's absolutely fine. I just don't think he's... he's just Keanu Reeves as well. Like, whenever you see him, it's Keanu. It's like Tom Cruise. It's like, it's just Tom Cruise. Also, why does no one talk about Tom Cruise being a psychopath?
I don't know.
I don't know why this is a thing because that people don't...
Scientology, and it's a bit scary.
That's the thing that scares me, is that people who are very very outspoken on certain things, like film journalists who are very outspoken on a lot of things, will refuse to speak out against Tom Cruise or Scientology. If you read like anything about Scientology and what Tom Cruise has done and the people who he's involved with, there's no way you could endorse being a fan of Tom Cruise.
It's a bit scary when you see how many celebrities are Scientologists as well.
Yeah, well, what's her name? Who's
Elizabeth Moss.
Yeah, no, she was in King of Queens, Leah something. She's like opposite Kevin James in King of Queens in the sitcom. And she was in Scientology, and she's like, she now does a chat show or a documentary series about Scientology.
Because she got out,
yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, she was on Louis Theroux's podcast talking about it. Yeah, next week we'll slag off some other celebrities, maybe.
Just don't say anything nasty about
Tom Cruise. Because they will get you. What are they called? Squirrel Busters.
Squirrel Busters.
Is that what they're called?
That sounds like not a thing.
I'm pretty sure that's what they're called.
Speaking of, there was a crow eating a dead squirrel the other day. It's pretty grim. I didn't realise that crows ate squirrels.
Oh, now Squirrel Busters are...
You've just got loads of
pictures. Oh, no, it is anti-Scientologists.
Oh, okay.
Scientologist Squirrel Busters stalk a church defect. They are called Squirrel Busters, yeah.
Okay.
There you go. Everyone's learnt something new there, Squirrel Busters. But yeah, we'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. See you next time.
Bye.